Monday, August 21st, 2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. But I'm not here with my better half. No, Eric Rosenthal, not here to record a host segment. Unfortunately, this week was challenging to say the least on getting together, scheduling something. We were able to carve out an hour that happened to also work with the person I invited to be on the show this week. So the hour that him and I spent together recording was with Gail Alexander, who we'll hear from just momentarily. So Eric's not here right now, but to make up for his absence, we have agreed, we've already carved out our time next week to record an especially long episode, probably our longest one to date. So there will be a long form extended conversation next week for the podcast. I don't have much to promo. I don't have much to recap here. I have been meaning to get out to Hollywood Casino one of these mornings. I think it's finally going to happen this Sunday morning. I should be there between 10 and noon probably. So if any of you are in the area or by chance want to throw some dice with me, I think those would be the core hours in which I'm there. I may get there earlier, may leave there a little later, but I think I'll definitely at least be there for those couple hours. I'm going to have I think we're going to do a Survivor pool this year, NFL Survivor pool. So I will I will post a way to buy in. I'm probably going to do two Survivor pools. I think I'm going to do a low stakes and high stakes Survivor pool with a cut between. It's like second place would get their money back, and then first place would have like a 70-30 split on winnings to charity donation of their choice after that. So that'll be for the NFL season. I'll get that posted soon so people can buy in. So Gil joins us to talk about the NFL. So this is going to be a very football-focused podcast as it comes to betting the NFL, risking money on the NFL, whether that's through straight bets or through contests or whatever it may be. Gil answers some questions that we got from you guys on Twitter, and just we have a nice conversation as we go into the regular season. I thought it would be good to I was okay with staying focused on the NFL when I realized that Eric and I were going to have a nice long conversation next week, which might be I guess it won't be the last episode before the season starts, but we won't do as much NFL pre stuff. We've been sort of doing it a little bit each week. So this week with Gil, lots of NFL stuff. Next week's going to be another larger grab bag that we like to do. So here is Gil Alexander from A Numbers Game talking betting the NFL going into the 2019 season. Enjoy. Gil Alexander, host of A Numbers Game on VSiN. Gil, it's been a little while, but not too long, but it's nice to have you back on The Better Life.
I'm sorry, what is your name again, sir? What is your name? Thank you for having me, Tim. I appreciate it.
Of course. I teased this with my audience with, hey, I'm bringing on a friend of mine. You probably know who that is, so let me know if you have any questions. And let me tell you, the true listeners immediately knew who it was and started asking questions. I imagine the casual listeners may not already know. But I have a grab bag of NFL related questions to ask you that I of course have not primed you for, but I'm sure with your 10 hours of broadcasting each week, you're probably prepared for all of these.
We'll see about that, but we'll try. Yeah.
He's like, don't set me up for failure here, Tim. In no particular order. The NFL, of course, brings a lot of betting contests. The Super Contest, probably the most famous of those. Circa now has a contest this year. I know Stations has their contest. Which of any are those that you're willing to talk about are you participating in this year?
Oh, yeah. I can talk about them. I am in the Circa Million contest. I have bought one entry so far. I am debating whether to buy a second. That always sounds good in theory. I don't know that I love doing that, quite frankly.
So how different would the, like, would you put five completely different or like two separate set of picks? Would there be any like, okay, this game definitely is going into both set? Like, what's the game theory behind that?
Well, you could do it any number of ways, right? You could do it the way that you just described, which is, all right, some of them are going to be the same, some of them are going to be different on a week to week basis. They all can be completely different, or, you know, most of them anyway. That could be a strategy. You're just two different entries, like, okay, here's my tier one picks, here's my tier two picks, whatever. You know, and there's the strategy of, I think, probably the best strategy, at least the one that makes the most sense for me, were I to have two entries, which, again, I'm not really sure I want to bother with, but were I to have it, I think I would probably go with the same exact picks until it got late. Mm. And then if I were in it, I think then I would shop accordingly, as they say.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Okay, I understand.
Because basically at that point, I would want to maximize my chances of winning. And so, you know, I would probably stray towards the end, given, you know, how far up I am, how far down I am, you know, it'd be a whole thing. But honestly, just even going through that process with you right there does not excite me that much, right? Like, I'm just sort of like, it sounds great in theory, and listen, it is an advantage for sure if you have two going down the stretch, for sure it is. I just don't know if I will do that or not, but I'm definitely in the Circa Million, which, let me just say this, is the best contest going in Nevada. I can't speak for contests elsewhere, because I know there are some good ones in other jurisdictions, but I could have just said states, but I went with jurisdictions. I'm sorry. So it's very pretentious of me. Because the reason I think it's the best one is because, first of all, the entry is lower than classic contests of the past, right? That have now like 4,000 people in it. And unlike the gold version of the super contest, this one is not a winner take all. So they kind of are better on both ends, quite frankly. And we could have an overlay, most importantly, if they don't get to their strike amount. So that's one that I'm in. And, you know, it's the only it's a contest where everybody pays for their own entry. So that's a great thing. As far as Last Man Standing, that's the other one that I do in town. That's Stations Casino's contest. And it's like a, you know, your basic survivor pool, but it is against the spread, not just to win. And it also, you know, also you can play different teams from week to week. There's a couple differences to it, but it is essentially you survive and you advance. That's great. I have said this on VSiN on a numbers game before out loud, so I will say it here, which is the only thing about that contest is, and I sort of, you know, they don't care that I say this, and they're going to do how they're going to do it, but they don't have picks posted because they don't have a deadline. Theirs is a rolling kind of deadline. In other words, if you wanted to put your pick in very early, there's a college and a pro version, by the way. Circa is NFL only. But if you wanted to put a pick in Saturday morning for college football, you could. You could wait to the very last game, play Hawaii, you know, Saturday night in college football as well. And so because there's no concrete deadline, they don't post picks on a website because it doesn't easily conform to, all right, now everybody's picks are in, now here are everybody's picks.
Oh, yeah.
And they go with that. And when I say to them, hey, you know, listen, I'm not saying you guys are doing anything nefarious, but it kind of lends to someone at some point in the future making that charge against you. Because when it gets down to the end, if you are not somebody that knows management and somebody else is alive, you won't know who it is, but through the grapevine, you kind of find out when it gets down to the final few who it might be. If another person knows and has been around Las Vegas for a while and might have more connections than you do, not the best feeling in the world. But I love the contest. I'm still doing it. Those are the two. Pro football for me in Stations, Last Man Standing.
So Tim and I will be participating in the Circa Sports Million. I'll be heading out in a week or so to get us set up.
Nice.
And the other thing about it is there's no VIG. I mean, every dollar that's going in, even if there is no overlay, it's coming back out.
That's right. No rake. No rake whatsoever. No rake. And as I said, everybody who participates pays for their entry. So it's a great thing.
It's pretty cool. Is there a contest concept that maybe you've heard discussed or you thought about on your own or whatever it may be that isn't established in any of the jurisdictions, if you will, that you think might be either be on the cusp or would be a very, like, be a fun endeavor for bettors?
There is stuff that's not necessarily a contest that I would rather not talk about, if you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah. But
as far as contests are concerned, do you guys know Matt Brown? Matt Brown, who does
yes,
stuff with VSiN. You know Matt Brown. Yes. Matt Brown, he was my partner in the DraftKings Sports Betting National Championship as well, and he does the Lines podcast. He was telling me about a contest at Sugar House in Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with that contest?
I'm familiar with the venue, not the contest.
$150 entry, $500,000 guarantee, $125,000 of first place, a straight pick'em contest. But you got to be in Pennsylvania to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I kind of love the way that sounds. Yeah. That's pretty good. So there's all kinds of, you know, we knew this was going to happen, right? As soon as legalization happened, we knew a proliferation of contests as well. And when they figure out, not when they figure out, but when it becomes legal, if that day comes, I don't know that it will, but if it ever became across state lines, man, we're going to have like a Powerball contest at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What is your favorite way to bet the NFL? Whether that's actually walking up to a sports book, whether it's one of these contests, whether it's having money in a fantasy league, any way that what happens in an NFL game somehow lends itself to risk that you have on that particular game, or the success or the underachievement of any particular player, like, not just from, not, and when I say favorite, I don't, you can give me both favorite as in like this is what I'm good at, or favorite as in like I get the most enjoyment out of this one. Take this question however you like, but when it comes to your money at risk at the performance of people on the field during an NFL season, what does Gil Alexander enjoy doing the most?
I have often said that the NFL is so all-pervasive, football season from a betting standpoint, that if you never placed one single actual against the spread bet across the counter at a sports book, you would be completely occupied with all the different betting vehicles anyway.
Yep.
Because there is stuff, not to be coy, I know it's annoying when people say this, but like not stuff that I, you know, do sort of off the grid, right? Which is would be the answer to your question, but you know, first rule of Fight Club, right?
Sure.
But there's fantasy, right? There's fantasy. There are these contests we just talked about. These contests might be the answer to that question, because now there's in game, right? When a team, you know, we all like, hey, look, if the spread is 10, you like the favorite and they fall behind a touchdown, I'm all about jumping in and playing in game as well on that favorite, you know, all kinds of in game scenarios. But just as sort of like, what do I truly enjoy the most in football? It's actually not straight bets. It's actually not, you know, that's not how I bet anymore. I also changed the way I bet baseball as the years go on. It's really those contests can be really obsessive. Like if you are in it in Circa, or if you are in it in Last Man Standing week after week after week, I will tell you, I will spend an inordinate amount of time stewing over a Last Man Standing pick. If I'm, you know, I'm serious. It's yeah. Like, it's obsessive because, you know, the pot is there. It's so much fun. You know, like sometimes we lose, we're so immersed in betting, I know those of us here on this phone call are, that you sort of lose track sometimes of the fact that it's like, well, you know what? I don't, you know, the days of pre-flop bets in these sports, like to think that those are the best way to bet these things anymore, it's just such an antiquated notion. And so, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's those contests. I love them. Absolutely love them. By the way, the other part of those contests too, waiting for the standings to come out when you have done well, and waiting to see where you are moving forward. I have to tell you, like little moments like that during the week that don't even involve you putting $10 out there, just waiting for standings. That's how much those contests can be enjoyable. Now, if you're out and you're stuck early, a different story.
Right. Going into the NFL season, the Browns, of course, have gotten a lot of hype going into it. A lot of people think the Bears are going to have some carryover success. You can speak on those two. You can speak on give me a team that you think is far overhyped, and give me a team that you think is undervalued, almost merely based on lack of discussion.
Let's start with the ones that you mentioned first, Cleveland and Chicago. I buy into the Cleveland stuff. Listen, I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. I think some people have gotten a little out of hand with them, and their number is way too muted in terms of the futures markets. But the Browns bets that I made, I can tell you what I made, was before season win totals, before anything came out, William Hill put out a couple Browns props. And I went to the counter at the Hooters in Las Vegas, and I said, I want both of these bets or none of these bets. Can you do that? And they're like, sure. And they did do that for me, which was they had the Browns number at 8.5. That was the only team that had a season win total for well before any other team, just to reflect what you're talking about the hype and the interest around this team. So I went over on 8.5, and then they had the Browns yes or no to make the playoffs. The no was +155. So the fact that they offered those two bets, first of all, was idiotic on their part, because one, they had to know everybody was going to go over on the 8.5, which I did as well. That 8.5, why not just post it at 9? So that was a bad number for them. Again, for me to lose both of those bets, the Browns would have to win their division at 8-8. So Basically, they're giving me an opportunity to win two or break even. So that's a bet or two bets that I had to make right off the bat. I sprinted over there. So those are my positions on the Cleveland Browns. And I got to tell you, I really think Baker Mayfield is every bit as good as I thought he was in college, when I couldn't believe they weren't going to draft him high in the NFL draft. And then as the season went on and as the draft approached, finally everybody, cooler heads prevailed, and he ended up being the number one pick in the draft. But I will say this about Baker Mayfield, kind of getting tired of his act off the field. Kind of stop talking a little bit. It's I get it. You're good. You're arrogant. Now shut up if you could a little while and let's win something. About the Bears, I feel the opposite. I think the Bears are overhyped, whereas I think the Browns have the talent and they're going to do very well. Listen, Mitch Trubisky is, as long as he's been getting on these rollouts that Matt Nagy's been calling for him, he's been effective. But defenses have a way of adjusting, and they're going to take that away from Mitch Trubisky. And I think the Bears are going to have a lot of trouble this year. I think the Bears fan base and people who are Bears backers expect the trajectory to just go steady uphill. And I think this is a regression year for them. What was the other question? Undervalued. I think that the San Francisco 49ers, I mean, to the extent that they're undervalued, the people aren't really talking about them. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo threw 5 interceptions in a row in practice. Then he comes out in a preseason game and he didn't complete a pass and he had 1 pick. 0 yards, 1 pick. I'm told that's not good, but I really believe they're going to be really good, like almost flirt with and perhaps win that division. I know people are like, what are you talking about? The Rams went to the Super Bowl, for God's sakes. I think the Niners fly around on defense. They got a lot of great players. I expect Garoppolo to be just fine when the season starts. I'm not going to get lulled into some preseason nonsense. And here's the big thing. I think their coach is awesome. I think Kyle Shanahan is super genius. Yes, I know his dad was a coach and he got coaching jobs because of that. Like, I get that. But it's all two things can also be true. And I will tell you that when he was with the Washington Redskins, the reason RG3 was so great his rookie year was all Kyle Shanahan. And everywhere he's gone, whether Atlanta and now with the Niners, they are going to be super successful. And I think the Niners are an undervalued team.
Their season win total at 8.5. Do you think?
Over.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do.
Very good. How do you? I'm curious your thoughts. And forgive me if you've talked about this on your program. Gil, with a new job, I have a less opportunity to watch a numbers game. But
I understand.
The Baltimore Ravens, also at 8.5, with some juice on the under. A lot of people talking about, like, oh, the Pittsburgh will be able to compete. You know, when we're talking about the Browns, people are like, well, Pittsburgh should be able to compete. The Ravens still look good. Every time I bring him up, I can't even remember what his stupid name, the name of their quarterback.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. I don't know, maybe I am thinking too simply on him. I just feel like it would take about a third of the season for defenses to pick up on his one-dimensional play, and that he would be muted. Am I not giving him enough credit?
No, I think that's pretty much a consensus opinion, right? Like, here's what concerns me about the Ravens. By the way, my biggest season win totals plays on both the Raiders and the Redskins under. I have made those bets as well.
Raiders and Redskins under.
Yes. The okay. Redskins are 6.5. They're under. They're so six. They're such a 6-10 team. It's not even funny. And then the Raiders, regardless of what you say on Hard Knocks, if you think somehow that you're buying into the Raiders hype by watching this, their schedule is brutality. Like, they are just like the most brutal schedule ever, and it can get away from them pretty quick, and I think it will. And by the way, Antonio Brown, something's wrong with him. Something is like not yep. exactly right with Antonio Brown. But as far as the Ravens, the only thing I said about the Ravens this offseason was this, and I actually asked Michael Lombardi this question, who's on VSiN as well. And I asked him, I go, do you know one person who thinks the Ravens are going over their season win total? Like, in other words, anecdotally, everybody I know is like, under. It's an under train, right? Like, there's no possible way the Ravens can get to that number. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl. I don't even know if they're winning the division. But, like, it's possible. I mean, what's their win total? 8.5?
8.5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, would you be that shocked if they went 9-7?
No.
I don't think I would be that shocked, right? It's John Harbaugh, good coach. Some people think, besides Belichick, the best coach in pro football. Certainly a preseason juggernaut, if you buy into those kinds of things. But I think you're right. I think you know, Lamar Jackson's going to have to be accurate at some point. The thing with the Ravens, though, is this. It will come down to their defense more than anything. Their defense lost a lot of players. And their defense has always been solid, and that's what – as the defense goes, so go the Ravens. It's going to come down to this. If the defense can hold teams – they don't have to be as great as they have been, but if they're still top third in the National Football League and they can keep the opponent to a certain – you know, a certain point total and get leads for Lamar Jackson early, it's Lamar Jackson on the comeback, on the catch-up, is a different proposition to me than Lamar Jackson holding a lead, because he's probably frustrating as hell in, you know, running for first downs down the stretch if you're trailing that team. So I have no position on the Ravens. I stayed away from it because I actually do think 9-7 is quite possible.
Did you guys happen to see Warren Sharp put out today an article on Lamar Jackson?
I did not. No.
Yeah. So basically it states that everybody believes that Lamar Jackson is a subpar quarterback, but in fact, he was the NFL's best 21-year-old passer in history. So the article's at sharpfootballanalysis.com, and the title of the article is "You're Wrong About Lamar Jackson."
I like it.
Yeah. So if it's coming from Warren Sharp, I think I will give pause to downplaying Jackson's ability.
All right.
I just think if you're as effective as he is on the ground, you may not win Super Bowls, but you're damn likely to be competent. And so, you know, short of injury or anything like that. So I still listen until I see the Ravens suck, meaning, you know, be a 6-10 or 7-9 team. I'm gonna stay away from that season win total.
Without needing explanation, which team in that division most likely to get 10 wins or more?
I'm gonna say Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Okay.
You know why? I know you said without explanation. Can I break the rule?
Go ahead.
I just think without Le'Veon Bell and without Antonio Brown, they have a big screw you chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to throw the ball around the yard like nobody's business. Like, I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw for a billion yards this year.
Yeah.
With Juju and James Washington. So I think, and James Conner is very competent in the backfield. I think they're going to be really good. And by the way, Devin Bush to me is the defensive rookie of the year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Heard it here first, not
Sorry.
First, but first time that's been mentioned on the Better Life. NFL futures. A couple years ago, you were like, "Yo, Eagles at 40 or 50-1. That's a bet. I took it. It cashed.
Bingo, bango. Yes,
the next
sir.
Year, you were like the Texans. I took it and
not so much. They got to the playoffs. So
they did.
Know, so.
They did. Yeah.
With this under the category of what's the best long shot pick out there, yes.
Yeah, right. So the context of that long shot. 2 weeks from the season, I know you usually do these long shots sort of as the new as the past season finally comes to a close. But 2 weeks from the regular season, do you see anything worth taking pre-flop going into the season?
What's my parameter? That have to be double digits.
Nope.
10-1 or greater, or what's my
your parameter is? I think this is a good price to get it at this. So of what you've seen out there, what might be the better price you're going to find on a team throughout the season? Like, you might not find this team at this price after the season starts.
I hear what you're saying. What are the Philadelphia Eagles right now?
I am seeing the Eagles at scroll. Of course, this wouldn't be organized. Eagles are 9-1.
I think you should shop around for that. You should be able to get a better price than that on the Eagles.
Okay.
And, you know, here's the thing. Without having their schedule right in front of me to completely answer that question perfectly, I think the Eagles – I really think we could see an Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl. The Patriots, for all the obvious, boring, straightforward reasons. And the Eagles, just because the NFC East – is a two-team division. The Redskins and Giants are not going to threaten to win the NFC East. This is breaking news on your podcast. And so I'm not a believer that the Cowboys get it together. I think there's a little too much dysfunction there for me to ever buy into the Cowboys. So I think the Eagles win that division. And it's always easier to start when you're only in a two-team division. So
does,
for me,
does 13.5-1 sound better?
Yes, that sounds much better. 13.5-1. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the 9-1 sounded short. So the Eagles are my pick, and because I really do think with Carson Wentz, like, we probably have forgotten how good he is.
Yeah.
And he's really good. And I would – for me, that's the team I would – of all the double-digit shots, that's the one I would take. And, again, it's not, like, the sexiest pick in the world. It's not a 30-1 shot like they were when I called them the first time. But I think you have an Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl. I really do.
Okay, very good. One of the props that I see out there is first head coach to leave post, this season, Jay Gruden leading your Washington Redskins, at variable prices seems to be the shortest odds. Would you agree with that assessment?
Man, let me tell you something. I would have kicked Jay Gruden out the last 5 years if I had a choice for it.
Does the fact that he hasn't had to leave yet when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. And I thought, does it really? Like, because, like, I feel like he would have left already if it was that clear that he's first out the door.
Well, first of all, think about the wording of that prop that you just gave out, right? Which coach will leave? Was that the was that the wording?
First NFL head coach to leave post.
NFL coach to leave post. So that's a catch-all.
Inclusive of dismissal, firing, resigning, right, or retirement.
Well, that's why they word it that way, because you can see some other outfits that aren't quite as clever with that. They'll just say first coach to be fired,
right?
So that will eliminate someone who resigned or, you know, whatever. The first to leave their post, cleverly worded. I mean, here's the thing. The reason that Jay Gruden has lasted as long as he has, and I swear, if you're a Redskin fan, you know this, but maybe you don't if you're not. Before Jay Gruden came along, Daniel Snyder was flipping coaches left and right. And that was one of the big criticisms against him. And Daniel Snyder has rabbit ears, and he listens to everything everybody says about him. And he's a jackass. Can I point that out as well? Kind of irrelevant, but I just want to point that out. And so Jay Gruden was allowed to stick around through mediocrity. And now, like, he's been the coach forever. And I happen to think he's a terrible coach. I think he's really dumb in-game. He's even dumber in post-game press conferences. Like, he's not the brightest guy in the world. But if you're – like, it would be a funny year to fire him after all that, even though I think it's very possible. Because the Redskins don't have a quarterback, right? Like, it's right. Okay, they have Case Keenum. Let me not say they don't have a quarterback. They have Case Keenum and they have Dwayne Haskins. I think Colt McCoy was supposed to start, but – the Redskins medical staff saw to it that something went wrong with his surgery and he's had infections and it's a whole thing with the Redskins medical staff. So Colt McCoy doesn't look like he's starting the first game. Here's the real thing the Redskins don't have. They don't have any wide receivers. Like, you cannot name Redskin wide receivers.
Paul Richardson.
There you go. Well, you live in D.C. So you know.
Well, actually, the reason I know that name is because he used to be a Seahawk and it killed me that he got traded.
Yeah. Fleet of foot. It's a very fast receiver. But but the average fan doesn't know any Redskins receivers. Jordan Reed, will he stay healthy? I don't know. So the problem with the Redskins is they also, like, they're a running team first because they have Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis on the roster. Darius Geis, great. We're very excited to see him finally play after an injury. He also had to have, you know, infection in his post-op, so it's a whole thing. But when you have Adrian Peterson on your team, it's like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now you're going to be a run-first team. Being a run-first team is not the way to win in the National Football League. So the Redskins are the quintessential, please let our Alabama defense, because everybody's from Alabama, hold the opponent to 17 points, then we'll have a shot. What was the question? Oh, Jay Gruden. So, yeah, all of that to say, like, can you really expect this team to be any good? Like, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that this is his last year. Like, he's just not going to – I don't know if he'll be the first to go. That's the question. Who would be the other ones that would be so disappointing that they would be dismissed?
Shortest odds that I'm seeing, Jay Gruden at 3-1, Pat Shurmur at 7.5-1, Matt Patricia at 10-1. And then the next above that, I guess, is Doug Marrone of the Jaguars at 12.5-1. Those are the shortest four that I'm seeing.
I think Doug Marrone would be the one that you'd have to keep your eye on. Fritz Shurmur and Matt Patricia, they were just coaches for the first time last year, I believe, in both cases. And like, you know, you with Matt Patricia, you want to give him the guys he needs to win with how he wants to win, whatever that means, right? But you'll at least give him a chance to have his guys. And with Fritz Shurmur, like, the cupboard is barren, you know, like, and he's still got Eli Manning as the quarterback. So it's like, what, are you going to fire him for, like, you got rid of all your good defensive players? That's Fritz Shurmur's fault. All your wide receivers were, you traded Odell Beckham Jr. I still don't understand that to this day. Wow, you're going to blame that on the coach. But I think in the case of Doug Marrone, if that defense doesn't return to how they were 2 years ago and the Jaguars start slow, Marrone could be the guy.
Okay. Eric, anything for Gil at this point from you?
So you mentioned that you like the Niners for a chance to actually win the division. I'm down on the Rams as a whole. Can I infer that you're also down on the Rams if you believe that the Niners can compete?
Yeah, down being relative, though, right? Like,
right, absolutely.
I don't think it's any crime if the Rams won 10 or 11 games, right? It's still down. But I do think that here's my thing with the Rams. Todd Gurley is one of the great mysteries, right? There should be a 30 for 30 on the Todd Gurley thing. Mm-hmm. That's a chronic knee injury. And I don't think we'll ever see Gurley the way we ever saw him before. So let's just start right there. And the second thing is, you know, Sean McVay, boy genius, defense is going to – Bill Belichick kind of put out a blueprint in the Super Bowl. It's like, here's how we beat Sean McVay. Here's how we beat Sean McVay. And they scored 3 points in the Super Bowl. Three. So, like, I don't think the Rams are going to suck, but I don't think they're going to be this team that is infallible like they were last year.
I see the 49ers at +425 to win the NFC West.
It's good price right now. It's good price.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have futures. We did first. Iowa just started taking bets. State of Iowa. They have included mobile betting in their legalization. I know that we all see mobile betting as a for the recreational gambler, it's a point of convenience. Is there anything more to it than that as a professional bettor? How much more differently do you view a state that's including mobile gaming versus one that's not?
Oh, it's everything. And you know, they're only the fifth state to do mobile.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why others have not made this a priority. Like New Jersey, it's all mobile, man. Like the reason that New Jersey is because of mobile. MGM didn't do so well with it, but DraftKings and FanDuel sure did, and others as well. And MGM will come around. But yeah, good for Iowa to do that. I mean, the most curious thing about the Iowa thing, and you guys probably know, follow this much more closely than I do, but, you know, in Pennsylvania, to get a gaming license, it was $10 million a pop. $10 million. Do you know what it is in Iowa? $45,000.
Yo, You know, my parents live in Iowa. I might be able to set up shop.
So here's the thing. So everybody's kind of thinking this. Now there's some rules, right? Like there has to be – now, don't hold me to this. Somebody's going to be far more versed than I am.
Sure.
But that's the first barrier, is only $45,000. Now, I do think you have to have some association with and there's different language for this. So don't hold me to that, but it has to do with either a brick and mortar place, or there's another term that I'm forgetting right now, but there are some other, you know, bullet points or some fine print rather that you have to get by. It's not as simply as walking up and saying, "Here, $45,000, give me a gaming license." But, that makes it a whole heck of a lot easier. I'll tell you that, in $45,000 versus $10 million. And I think there are going to be a lot of people that, you know, open up Tim and Eric's, you know, corner betting shop as a result of that. So it'll be very interesting. And here's the thing, what we've learned from Iowa at VEASAN, they are a super passionate state when it comes to this stuff, right? Like it is obviously they have college teams, no pro teams, but, you know, they've always sort of been, they're just big sports fans is what we're learning very quickly. And forgive me, Iowa, that I didn't know that right off the bat. I wouldn't have expected the passion, but it is a great state for sports betting. It'll be very interesting to see how they do there. And mobile's everything, man. Like here in Nevada, you know, some of these mobile apps, like I'm in Nevada. I can see DraftKings in New Jersey. I can't bet there, obviously, but I can see all their odds every day. Sometimes I can't even see other Nevada apps, what they have. Like I cannot see certain lines on certain apps in this city. And it's still so primitive. And the interesting thing is everything's its own ecosystem. So Nevada sportsbooks and Nevada gaming, they don't feel like they're competing with DraftKings or FanDuel in other states right now. Yeah. They're just competing against other Nevada books. And it makes for a very primitive sort of feel here. We'll see if that changes with the NFL draft being here next year and beyond.
I got a few questions from the audience. First, Mississippi Rob wants to know, you can either answer for yourself or sort of what advice you'd give a recreational bettor. I think either would be valuable. What sort of like ratio do you have for a straight bet versus like a future bet, right? So if you, whatever your normal flat bet is to bet aside, is that the same wager you're making when you make a future bet, or does it scale lower, based on the odds? How do you gauge that?
I mean, generally speaking, Mississippi Rob very active on Twitter, by the way. Enjoy Mississippi Rob. By the way, could Mississippi Rob get me what the LSU Texas line is from Beau Rivage? If you could do that for me, I'd appreciate it.
I'm sure he will. As soon as he hears this, I bet he will. Yeah,
I would appreciate that. But the generally speaking, and there's no static answer to this, but generally speaking, your futures bet is going to be smaller. Obviously a little more bang for your buck, and it's just, you know, it's a full season. We're talking about a pre-flop future bet here before a season starts. And by the way, just let me say this in general before I even, you know, I've already answered that, but really the answer to that question is the futures market generally suck.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's just not a lot of value in it. And you know, I was even talking about like, there was a Super Bowl matchup exacta prop, offshore. Chrissy Andrews is one of the first, if not the first, to come up with these. So who's going to face each other in the Super Bowl? And I think it's going to be the Patriots and the Eagles, as I said earlier. Well, it's 20-1. So, you know, it makes for a great sexy thing to like, hey, hit it 20-1, just like I hit the Eagles. Oh, 30-1. It's awesome. But you know what? Like if I did the same thing right before the playoffs, it's 36 combinations as opposed to 256 of them. So it's like, why wouldn't I just wait anyway?
Right.
You know, so the futures market in general, like if you're going to do it, like definitely don't bet the house on it, because even if you're right, it's just such a shot in the dark a lot. Now that's different for college football, where basically three teams can win it all. It's different for baseball, where basically three teams can win it all. The NFL is a little different. Like unless the Patriots are winning, there's a bunch of teams that could probably end up winning it. And certainly, you know, other sports, there's a whole scrum. Like in men's tennis, if it's not Djokovic or Federer or Medvedev winning the U.S. Open, maybe Nadal, nobody else is going to win it. But on the women's side, literally throw all of them up in the air, and it could be anybody winning it. So there's a lot of sports where making a futures bet, just don't go crazy, because it's just a shot in the dark in a lot of these sports. And then, of course, the sizing with individual game bets has to do with what the edge is, the perceived edge. Right. The more the perceived edge, the bigger the bet.
Yeah, and sometimes you get a 15-1 Green Bay Packer team that's going to lose to the Giants at Lambeau.
Is that an inside? Is that something happened to you with that?
No, actually, fun fact, that was the game that was on when you and I first met in person, Gil.
I didn't expect you
to remember that, but that's why I spotlighted that game versus any other example I could have given. So,
what year was that, Tim?
2012, I want to say.
Wow.
No, 2011, probably.
I think it was 11. Yeah. I think it was 11.
Yeah.
Man.
So, summer, right? Not a lot going on. We got baseball. There was a little bit of soccer, some tennis and golf for the Fiends. As we're getting into the winter sports, where there's a lot more European soccer, there's obviously American football. Basketball is going to start up again soon. So is hockey. I know that like you're in the industry, so you can keep up with it a little bit more. But do you ever like when it's at its most dense of the amount of sports that you're able to bet on, do you find yourself saying, I just can't bet on that because I'm just not keeping up with it enough? Like, do you ever limit the amount of sports you're playing just because based off of your familiarization or how little you've been maybe paying attention to one sport versus another?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, anybody who thinks they can bet everything with great success all the time, I mean, come on. It's like you have a limited amount of time. So, I mean, you know, there are certain things. I'm always looking for – you know, where obviously you should always be looking for where the value is, but I've definitely become in the last 2-3 years much more of a keener eye for, you know, little sort of quirky edges that come up and go. Tankapalooza being a very famous example 2 seasons ago on the NBA. Like, oh, what's happening here? These teams are actively maximizing their chances of not winning the game. Let me rephrase that. They are putting lineups on the court that do not maximize their chance of winning games. Like, that was a thing. It was actually happening for 2 months in the NBA 2 seasons ago. So you look for windows like that. This FedEx Cup right now is a great example in golf. I'm not sure if you follow this at all. But after the majors in golf this year, they rejiggered the rules, the format for winning the FedEx Cup, which is a 3-tournament golf event, the first 2 of which had to do with a point conversion. And then based on the final points tally was how they would start the 3rd and final event in a staggered fashion. So what you have, Justin Thomas starts at 10 under, Patrick Cantlay 8 under. I have Brooks Koepka at 7 under. There's a guy at 6 under, 5 under, and then 5 at 4, 3, 2, 1, and even. It's a 30-player golf tournament. But it's like those are events. Those are markets where – you can really wrap your head around it. It's unlike anything else. And you can really strategically play them, and they make for much more calculated bets, much more savvy bets. Not guarantee you're going to win them, right? I'm not even in first place going into it. There's no guarantee you'll ever win them. But like in poker, if you set yourself up as best you can, more success will come. And so, like, it's things like that that I get into, and when I'm into something like that, absolutely, it will be in lieu of something else. So, you know, I'm betting a lot of tennis. You know, I bet a lot of tennis, famously I talk about on the show. But, like, I don't bet WNBA. My right. baseball pre-flop betting has really gone low, even though I still bet baseball. I just bet in different ways. And, you know, I'm not racing to bet college, you know. Oh, preseason football is a great thing, a great example. Our network is kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over the NFL preseason. They love, like a lot of people on our network, love betting the NFL preseason. Now, I do not judge others for betting what they want to bet. If they win, God bless them. You know, if they found a way to exploit it, good for them. Just not how my brain works. So I'm betting all these other things, and I could not care less about the preseason. Couldn't yeah. care less. Like, just don't have time for it. So that was a long way to get to that answer, I guess.
Got a couple more questions for you. As sports betting now, I think, is in its 11th state, as more states are buying in, what's something that might worry you as sports betting continues to expand?
Just that you'll have just these shops that have unbettable props. You know, like, I was, what was the other day? DraftKings was, they put up a, oh, they had teams to make the, who, you know, likelihood of making the playoffs in both the American League and the National League. This is a couple weeks ago. And everybody, the knee jerk, when they saw the prop, they were like, oh, that's awesome. Like, no other book has this, you know, for not to win the division, but this is to make the playoffs. Wow, it's, that's interesting. Nobody else has that. Good for DraftKings, man. It's awesome. And then you look at the numbers on them, right? Like, no one really checked the numbers. None of those teams are bettable, right? Mm. They're none of them by the prices they have. So I'm a little worried that with this new generation of bettors that inevitably is coming up now in legalization, that they just don't – they won't know any better. And they're just – they'll make really bad bets unbeknownst to them. They just have no sense of what a good bet is and what's not. And the books will happily take advantage of that. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, thank you. That question coming from Taylor from New Mexico. I'm curious. I don't know if you can say. I don't know if you're ready to say. We know that Chris Andrews is still recovering from a health issue. What is guessing lines going to look like going into the beginning of the season?
Chris Andrews told me the other day. I saw him in L.A. Went to visit him and his wife. He told me we're doing guessing lines.
I like
same
it.
Time, same bat channel.
It reminds me of that of the old manager from, was it Major League, where he was in the hospital but still like listening to the game on the radio or whatever. Yeah, that's
Now we may do it by phone, old school style, as we did back in the old podcast days.
Right.
But we're going to do guessing lines from the beginning of the season, and we're going to do it throughout. And here is the real perhaps. Now I'm talking out of turn. It's just three of us talking, right? Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
There might be stories that have never been told before.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Tim needs a towel.
All right, I have here are a few bets that I've made going into the football season. You tell me good, bad, or ugly, or however you want to grade them. Use your own scale. I have under 6.5 Detroit Lions win totals at under 6.5 even.
Sounds good to me. You know, Chris Velika, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day, who's a big friend of a numbers game on VSiN and the network itself, he has the Lions having the worst record in all the NFL this year. He has a 15-1 bet on them. So if he's right, you're looking good.
Yep, absolutely. I have Auburn under 7.5 at plus 115.
I don't hate that. Yeah, I think Auburn's schedule is just brutal, right? SEC, just brutal. Would I be surprised if they, you know, here's the thing people need to know about college football. Those do not include bowl games. They do not include playoff games or championship games in their own conference. Could they beat it? Yes, but I don't hate it.
Okay. What's one I got here? I have Missouri over 8.5 at even.
Yes, we talked about that on my show a lot. I like Missouri over this year. I think they're really good team who can start really fast, by the way.
That bet definitely came straight from listening to a numbers game. I will admit to that. I think as bettors, especially recreational bettors, where we listen to a lot of content, there's bets that we make that sort of influenced by sort of like what like a lot of people are saying, what a few people are saying, whatever. And then there's those bets that like as soon as we hear it, we love it and we just bet it. And that was definitely one of them. I remember you talking about it, and I was like, "Yep, I'll go ahead and take that."
Sometimes the reasoning is so solid, right? As you can't, you're like, "Okay, you win. Here comes the bet." Yeah.
And then probably the squarest of them all, and I admit that this is square. But I took yes on the Browns to make the playoffs at minus 125.
I mean, I don't call anything square. Like, because to me,
well, I'm calling it square because I know I could have gotten a better number.
Then
why I'm calling it square.
Then you are square as hell, Tim.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, it's like I used to say during Tankapalooza, I used to look in the camera and I used to say, if you think I'm like betting these money lines against these teams, and I would look at the camera and I said, if you think I'm the square one, think again. You're the square one for not betting it this way. I mean, you didn't get the best of it maybe, but I still don't think it's an awful bet.
Okay. I made that off of my conviction that Lamar Jackson can be figured out. But maybe Warren Sharp's going to prove me wrong. But I think that I think the Browns, whether overhyped, underhyped, whatever it may be, I think they're going to compete well enough that I like their chances of making it into the playoffs. And I think that's actually all. Those are the only preseason bets that I've made. I don't think I'm going to go. I doubt I'll make anything else other than that. So my last question for you is, if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of sports bettors, you don't have to give me a definitive four, but maybe give me five or six that are definitely in the conversation.
Mount Rushmore of sports bettors.
Yes.
I can give you two.
Okay.
No, seriously. Like, I mean, and I think there's some wisdom in that answer, right? Like my buddy E, who I talk about on my show all the time, is the most successful sports bettor I know, who lives in anonymity. And then Rufus Peabody, who's been on my podcast many times before, has been on the Numbers Game. He's the polar opposite, right? So I think I should give you two pillars on each side. My buddy E shuns analytics. Rufus is all numbers, right? Rufus has no opinion, personal opinion in what he does. And I think those two guys are in my Mount Rushmore of sports betting, and I think they represent the two ends of a spectrum. Where, you know, I think that's the other thing that I find fascinating about sports betting is there are many ways to skin the cat. And sometimes, you know, you find that there's wisdom on all ends. And so I hate when one end is more is arrogant about that their approach is the only way to win. Because if I've learned one thing in all these years, it's that you should have some humility and that there's actually different ways to win. And so I'd put those two guys as the answer to my to that question.
Very good. Someone on Twitter wanted to know why you let me keep on calling you my friend. Why do you allow that, Gil? Why do you let me get away with?
You know, it's a great question. No, listen here. Because Tim and I have known each other since 2011, and Tim and I genuinely, this is a true story, when I go back to D.C. to visit my parents, we try to make time to hang out at least once during a trip. Sometimes we don't get around to it. Sometimes we do. So Tim and I are absolutely friends who met on Twitter so many years ago.
That's true. Back when people used Twitter to actually be social, when social was actually what you did on Twitter.
That's so true, man. I have two friends, you being one of them, Meltzer Like Seltzer being the other, who from the early days of Twitter, like there might be other examples more recently, but from the early days of Twitter that I still am, you know, very much in touch with. And though you're right, it was a different time.
Yeah. Eric, do you have any last questions, thoughts for Gil before we let him go?
Yeah. So I'd like you to extend a congratulations to your co-star on the Todd and Gil show. He's our buddy Todd Wishnev is making a name for himself, taking over. I feel like he's elbowing you out the door little by little every episode. I'm kidding, but I'm really enjoying the time that he's spending on your show, and you know, let him know we're thinking of him and wishing him well.
I will tell him. I got to tell you, I tremendously enjoy my time with Todd on a Numbers Game. I love batting stuff around back and forth with him. We are sort of doing our own show, and we kind of don't know if people follow a lot of what we're talking about because some of it is very stupid and some of it is very nuanced, but we tend to stray into other subjects besides sports betting and just a regular conversation. So I really enjoy my time with him. And by the way, Todd Wishnev on the Megapod all year long this year.
Nice.
Wow. Very nice.
Very, yes.
Very nice. Well, unlike Tim, I do watch and listen regularly, and I can tell you that it's not stupid. I would say from front to back, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's quality content, and none of it is dumb.
Well, thank you. Eric, you're my new friend. Let's push Tim out.
Oh, all right. I gotta get the Todd elbows ready. All right, Tim. We're gonna keep inching you little by little.
Thank you, Eric. It's very kind. I take those words to heart. I appreciate it. That's very kind of you to say that about that show.
Very good. Well, Gil, I'm sure you and I will talk again soon, but I'm hopeful that when I'm in Vegas in October for the summit and for the Global Gaming Expo that we'll get a chance to have coffee on your side of the map.
Please do. And Eric, when you're in town, please let's hang out as well.
All right. I'd like that. Sounds good, Gil.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Big thank you again to Gil for joining us. I appreciate everybody interacting with us on Twitter at The Better Life. Appreciate everybody supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/TheBetterLife. I will be shipping out the book club books in a couple weeks, actually. So the first week of September. Again, it is going to be Gambling Wizards by Richard Munchkin. So if you join before then, I'll include you as those ship. But if you join after September 1, you'll have to wait till the next quarter to be a part of it. Early this year, when it was more topical, I talked about having a Game of Thrones themed shirt that said, "I drink and I throw things." I am actually going to post that for pre-sale only, so we're only going to do one round of sales. I may or may not have like a couple shirts left over that people may be able to buy, but I'm not going to hold an inventory. So I just think it's a fun shirt. I like the idea of it. I like being the Game of Thrones nerd that I am. I thought it was kind of a fun way to mix the craps aspect with the dice and with the Game of Thrones sort of text. So I'll post a picture and a link to pre-order that if that is something that you are interested in. I'm not going to ramble on too much here with whatever. I don't have much more to discuss or to bring up. I'm going to save anything I might have to talk about for next week for my extended conversation with Eric Rosenthal. Thank you so much for listening this week. I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.